Good morning. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. That's where we're going to start this morning in our study on the title, What Does Forgiveness Look Like? What does forgiveness look like? You're going to get a handout in a minute and we'll discuss what does forgiveness look like. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. If you're there, we want to begin our study together what forgiveness looks like. And we're going to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, 15. As Jesus hung on the cross, he understood what forgiveness was all about. And he says in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But let's begin in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning in verse number 30 in relationship to if we don't know how to forgive, in relationship to what forgiveness or a lack of forgiveness will do to us in relationship to our spiritual war and spiritual well-being. Because you go all the way down to chapter 5 and verse number 17, He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord. So beginning in verse number 30 of Ephesians chapter 4, look what the Bible says here. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that word grieve. That word simply means don't sadden the Holy Spirit. Don't disrespect the Holy Spirit. When we don't do what the Holy Spirit tells us in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Because in James 1 and verse 25, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being the perfect law of liberty. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and preached, he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we know in John 14, 26, John 15, 26, John 16, 13, that leads to James 1, 25, we do have the perfect law of the liberty in relationship to the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. He said, do not grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherefore you are sealed, under the word that sealed, unto the day of redemption. And by that word sealed, just write Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That is that we are sealed by the word, by the Holy Spirit. That is that we do not grieve, we do not disrespect, we do not sadden the Holy Spirit because we have the power of the word of God. But look at verse 31, and this is what I want us to see. And this is what happened. And we know because when we have not forgiven, or when we have not been obedient to the word of God, when we have grieved the Holy Spirit, these are the attributes, or these are the things that cause our spirit to be like the spirit that it may be. Look what he says. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, put away from you with all malice. See, when we fail to forgive, or when we fail to do what God tells us to do, these adjectives, these things, be a part of our life. Look at the sheet right there. When you look at that word, when you look at the word forgiveness in relationship to understanding what is the will of God, in relationship to that word forgiveness, look at that word there. We're talking about the word itself. I want you to look at that word, A-P-H-I-E-M-I. See, when we fail to, and this is what that word means, it means to sin away. So you got to let it go. To keep it no longer. But the key word is, you got to be able to release these things that are part of our life, but take the word of God to add forgiveness in relationship. So that here in verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from us with all malice. And then verse 32, he said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as for Christ's sake has forgiven us. So when you go to scripture, look at your sheet here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, look what Jesus says here in relationship to forgiveness. He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, look what the word said, if you do not forgive. See, if you do not pull away, if you do not sin, if you do not release, see, this bitterness, this anger, this clamor, this manner, this evil speaking a part of our life by not being able to forgive, he says, if you not forgive men that trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So what I want you to do, write that word here. It is not a choice, but it is a command. Right? Choice versus command. You don't have a choice in relationship to understanding what forgiveness means. It is a command of God. Because if you don't forgive your brethren, guess what? God is not going to forgive you. In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Go in the book of Romans chapter 5. And let's see what we need to see in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9 in relationship to that word forgiveness. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. See, Jesus forgave because Luke 23:34, Jesus hung on the cross, right? And Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. So if Jesus can forgive those on the cross, and he forgave us on the cross, Romans 3:24, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How much more do you and I need to forgive? In the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, for God commended his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, in other words, justified, then being made right, by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. But if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by Jesus' life. So if Jesus can forgive, enough to down the cross, shed blood, that we might be saved, that we may be reconciled through the blood that he shed, Acts 20 and 28, that he purchased the church, that he can forgive you and me, how much more do you and I need to understand the importance of why we need to forgive in relationship to how to forgive, in relationship to what we need to do, in relationship to being Christians, and to let our light shine. Number one, the number one thing that we need to see about forgiveness, number one, forgiveness acknowledges the hurt that's caused by sin. When we trespass or when we sin against our brethren. Go with me to the book of James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, and let me show you what we're talking about. James chapter 5 and verse 19. See, forgiveness acknowledges the hurt caused by sin. Why? Because we all have sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. Amen. And because we all sin, and because we all fall short of the glory of God, forgiveness acknowledges the hurt See, caused by sin. You know, this morning we talked about when sin is conceived and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. See, it caused us to be spiritually dead. It caused us to be miserable. It caused us to be hurt. I mean, it's like when we fail to forgive, we have the bitterness that builds up within us. We talk evil of people. We clamor against people. We malice against people. That's the hurt that we have to the point sometimes if we don't let it go, if we don't release it, if we don't let go and let God take control of our life, that hurt just get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper to the point you at work and you have something against someone. Every time you see it, the hurt starts all over again because it never stops. And that's what sin does. See, when we fail to forgive, the hurt that comes about, it comes about because of sin. So when you go to James chapter 5, verse 19, look what the Bible says. He said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and guess what, brethren? We do err. Amen. We do err from the truth. Go with me in the book of 1 John. I want to show you what I'm talking about. In the book of 1 John chapter 1. See, in 1 John chapter 1, we do err from the truth. Because in 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says at the beginning in verse number 5, relationship to that error. Romans 3:23, we all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. He said this verse 5, 1 John 1, this then is the message which we have heard of him and we declare to you, that God is light in him and no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Or drop it down to verse 8 for time's sake. If we say we have no sin, see, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, see, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. See, we do sin, we do err. See, that's the reason why Jesus came. Jesus didn't die for perfection, he died for imperfection, amen. That's the reason why Jesus gave us the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is a spiritual hospital, amen, that heals us, that takes care of us, that gives us that abundant life. That's the reason why when forgiveness comes, you got to let it go. You got to release it. See, you can't hang on to it. But the longer you hang on to it, those things begin to beset us. We get bitter. We get angry. We have evil speaking. There's malice. There's clamor among us. And see, that's the works of the devil, because the devil don't want you to be happy. Amen. Amen. See, that's the reason why. So when you go back to James chapter 5, and we do know we're sinning, he said, brethren, and let me start right there. Hey, you need to write 27, my brethren. Y'all know what that number represents, right? Hello? Hello? I need to come down and talk to you for a minute. Amen? See, prove all things and hold fast to that which is what? See, examine yourself to see whether you're in the word. See, you got to come down. See, he says, what, brethren? Amen? Amen? Get your book out. Get your book out. If you ain't got a book, you need to see about getting one. Amen? It's free. You ain't got to buy it. We don't have a bookstore. Well, we're selling them. They're free. Amen. Amen. It's free. Amen. We can't charge God goodness. Amen. Everything free. Amen. Amen. All right. Get the book out. All right. Here we go. If I can find mine. Hold on. It's here. Somebody got out my book. Okay, here we go. See, when you talk about 27, here we go. Y'all got the book? Amen. What scripture you just got to reading, brother? Ephesians 6, Paul. Put on the whole armor of God so you might be able to fight the wiles of the world. See, you're coming here to worship God in spirit and in truth, am I right? That's putting on the whole armor of God, amen. You got to come together to be able to worship God, amen. See, when you come, you bring your tools, amen. You don't leave my home, amen. This is spiritual nourishment that we need to fight that spiritual warfare. Am I right? Because we're fighting the little devils, the roaring lions, seeking whom we may what? Devour. Amen. So when I say brawling, that's what it said, didn't it? We're talking about the 27th book. When I say 27, you say, yeah, I know what that is. 4, 1, 21, 1. 4 Gospels, 1 Act, 21 Epistles, 2 Corinthians 3, 2, right? We are those written epistles written and read by all men. Ain't that right, Sister Brantley? And what we talked about yesterday, we had a little private conversation. Your husband don't even know about it, didn't he? Right. Amen. And I enjoyed it, amen. But it's that 27 that we're talking about here, when he's talking about brothering, amen, brothering, amen, in relationship, thank you, Paul, putting on the whole armor of God that we may be able to fight the wisdom. How are you going to be able to put something away, release it, let it go, when you don't know what the books say, amen? That's what's wrong with the world. They're depending too much on other people instead of depending on Jesus, amen. Amen. That's why there's so much bitterness in the world today. We're talking about gun control. We need Jesus control. Amen. See, Jesus will make you put down them guns. Amen. Jesus will make you what? Respect your brother. Amen. Jesus will make you do the right thing. Amen. So we don't need gun control legislation. We need Jesus control. The 27 books, the 39 books, which is the 66. That's the reason why these books are so important. Amen. Am I right? I need to be the president. I'll straighten this mess out. Amen. You remember those words? Bitterness, anger, evil speaking, clamor, malice. Put away all these things. Amen. It makes husbands love wives and wives love husbands. Amen. Amen. Because see, when you understand that, you're not going to be bitter no more. Amen. If you get bitter, you're going to get back sweet when you go back to the Word. Amen. It's going to take that taste out your mouth. Amen. And they're right, boo. Boo. That's right, boo. Put your hand over your mouth like Laura May did. That's all right. I embarrassed her. Amen. You were here at Sunday school. We talked about them boos, didn't we? Am I right? Now, I don't know what you call yours. Amen. She called me Cookie, but she changed the name to Pound Cake. But that's all right. We'll get back down to a cookie. Amen. Brothering. Amen. You see that? See that? See? Brothering. Let me go back to my book. Y'all with me? See, I had to come down and do a little teaching. Amen. Is that all right? See, I had to come down and do a little teaching. Amen. Because see, when you see it in the Word of God, you got to take advantage of it. Amen. Because see, you're not going to know how to sin away, to let go, to keep no longer release in relationship to that word, A-P-H-I-E-M-I, in relationship to what he's saying here. In relationship to keeping the love to hurt caused by sin. So go back to 5:19. He's at brothering, right? 27. I still say, right? 27. If any of you do err from the truth, right? 1 John 1, 5 through 10. And one convert him. That's simply saying that we all have sinned. And because we have a spiritual responsibility one toward another by being brothers and sisters in Christ, that brethren, when we do err, we should have the responsibility to convert that brethren back to truth. But to be able to convert back to truth, you got to be able to let go, release, send away. That is to learn how to forgive so that bitterness, clamor, evil speaking, malice may not be a part of your life. Now look at the next verse, verse number 20. He said, let him know, underline that word know, 1 John 5:13, that he which converteth the sinner. Well, question, how you gonna convert the sinner when you won't let go? When you won't release it? How would Jesus be able to be the head of the church when he had to die in order that we may be forgiven? Amen. See, he said, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, look what happened, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. See, that's what happened. See, when we acknowledge the hurt that caused by sin, that caused by error. Why? Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's just not for me, but everybody under the sound of my voice. Because we all have sinned. Knowing how to deal with it effectively, and the only way to deal with it effectively is spiritually. Mark 11, verse 25 and 26. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, and whenever you stand praying, he says, if you have anything against anyone, make no difference who it may be. He says, forgive him that your heavenly Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Then in Ephesians 4:30, we talked about that. When he talks about, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we have the seal for the day of redemption. Let all, and you need to underline those words, brother. Listen to me. You need to underline that, because we all have been bitter. We all have fallen out with people. We all have had problems with people. Well, it might be on your job, it may be your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother. We hold these grudges. We talk evil of people. We get angry with people. And then we color folks say, they better leave me alone, I'll knock them out. Or some of you go to work ready to fight. Amen. She better not say nothing to me today. Amen. My mama taught me. Amen. Don't take no mess off nobody. Amen. All your way going down Third Avenue. Better not say nothing. Better not say nothing. Amen. The devil is working in you. Amen. Simply because you have grieved the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, our Heavenly Father forgive you. You forgive your brother. Amen. You got to let it go. You got to release it. You got to send it away. Get it out your house. Amen. See, in relationship to what forgiveness can do for us in our life. Look what it says at the bottom of your sheet. Hurt is caused by sin. It's a sowing process. The forgiveness is the remedy to save a soul from death. Then look what he says here. And to hide a multitude of sin. See, in relationship to understanding. Look at point number two. See, not only is forgiveness a knowledge of the hurt that causes sin, but number two, he says forgiveness releases the offender of the offense. See, when you understand what forgiveness is, that when you send it away, you release it. You let it go. You don't want to keep it. You let go and you let God. See, what it do, it releases the offender of the offense. You remember Luke 23:34? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. He had to let it go in order for him to be the King of Kings and Lord of the Lord. Go with me to Matthew 5. I want to read something to you. Because see, when you don't release it, or when you don't release the offender of the offense, you cannot come up in here and worship God in spirit and in truth. Your worship is in vain, Matthew 15:9. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine. It's nowhere in the world for you to fuss all the way over here with your wife and then get up here and sing Amazing Grace. Hello? You had to let it go. You can't do it. You can't talk evil in the church. Some folks talk about folks in church. Amen? Some of y'all murmuring right now, how much more long? He's been talking for 30 minutes. Hello? And that what he said? Evil speaking? Am I right? You got to let it go. Amen. See, you offend the offender of the offense. But look at Matthew 5. I want to read something to you. Matthew 5 and beginning in verse number 23. Here, Jesus says in Matthew 25, 23, he said, therefore, if thou bring thy gifts to the altar, and thou remember that thou hast aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift. See, you cannot worship, you cannot pray, you cannot let your light shine if you don't forgive the offender of the offense. He said, if you got aught against him, leave your gift, leave and go be reconciled, then come back. Get yourself right first. See, let it go. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. See, when you let bitterness, malice, anger, evil speaking, a part of your life, see, you disrespect the word. Amen? Because see, forgiveness is to let it go. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. See, if you don't forgive your brother, your heavenly Father is not going to forgive you. Amen? Tie Matthew 18:15. Right by Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Just write Matthew 18:15 right in your Bible if you got it. Matthew chapter 18:15. Because here in Matthew 18:15 goes a little farther. See, forgiveness releases the offender of the fact because, see, forgiveness is a hurt caused by sin. Well, Jesus says in Matthew 18:15, he says in Matthew 18:15, he says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, and we all have sinned, there's none righteous, no, not one. It's just a human nature. We all sin. We trespass, whether intentionally or unintentionally. It's going to happen. I'm going to do it, and you're going to do it. And just because the preacher, I'm not excused. It's just a fact of life. That's the reason why we have the correction of how to correct it in order that we may correct the offender of the offense. He said, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. How you gonna correct something when you don't know nothing is wrong? Amen? Listen to me, folks. God is our Father. Am I right? We're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ, that we may be called children of God. Family sticks together, amen. Family love one another, amen. See, we just talked about James. He said, brother, if you do err. See, when we correct the error or when we are converted, not only do it save a soul from death, but it hides a multitude of sins, amen. That's what family does, amen. Am I right? So if we're a family, how come I can't come to my brother? How come I can't come to my sister and say, brother, I got a fault with you? Now, it's better for me to come and correct the problem one-on-one than bring it in C when C don't even know what we're talking about. Now, how in the world are you going to correct something when you ain't in it? Amen? Am I right? I want to read that one more time because, see, the offender got to be released from the offense in order to let go, in order to release it. You can hang on to it. The sun don't need to go down on your wrath. When you sin and when we got something against one another, well, I'll take care of Sunday. No, you don't. You need to take care of it today. Because this afternoon ain't promised. Amen. Sometimes I hear people say, I ain't spoke to my sister in 3 weeks. And I ain't going to speak to her. Something wrong with you. Something wrong with you, and you call yourself a Christian. But let me go back and read it one more time. He said, Moses, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go ahead and tell me the fault between thee and him alone. I'm not in the word him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained that what? A brother. A brother in relationship. And then go to Matthew 18. Let's continue on. And by verse 21, look what Peter said. And then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. I forgive you this time. But you better not do it no more. Amen? Just do it again. I told you. I want you to see. Because see, you got to understand the importance of what Jesus is saying. It's not one time and not two times. We all have sinned. If God just forgave you two times and left you alone, where would you be? Straight to hell. Amen. See, it's funny. We want to practice 1 John 1:9. We want to confess our sins and we want to be forgiven unlimited. But still, Frazier, 3. You don't use 2. Watch it. Amen. Y'all with me? He simply saying here, he said, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till 7 times. But Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, unto 7 times, but unto 70 times 7. And what it is, see, it's unlimited. It's unlimited. See, in relationship to we forgiving the offender of his offense. See, because Matthew 18:35, go back a little bit, go a little farther. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts, and that's the key word. That's through your understanding. See, that you may understand, Luke 23:34, Matthew 5:23-24, Matthew 18:15, Matthew 18:21-22, Matthew 6:14-15, Luke 23:34, Romans 5:5-8. That's the reason why I gave you the paper, amen. So you can put it upon your understanding, amen. See, that's where I took time to type it all up. It might be some mistakes there, but don't worry about it. Correct them. Amen. So your heart can be right. Until your heart get right, until your understanding get right, ain't nothing going to be right. Amen. Amen. Because you've been fighting all your life because your mama told you to fight. You got to correct it. Amen. Through your understanding, what he says here, verse number 35, again, he says 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. So finally, we need to see. Look at the sheet. Oh man, I never did put that other sheet up. I'm sorry. John, you should see it, son. Okay. I got a sheet. All right. So in conclusion, he said forgiveness is to restore the damage that was caused by sin. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of God. And God will punish, like we said, Christians for not forgiving one another. And then forgiveness does good to our enemies. Because Matthew 5:44 said, love your enemy. And unwilling to forgive causes bitterness of the heart, resentment that reduces a hard heart. Because as long as you hold this bitterness, clamor, malice, evil speaking, what it do, it perpetuates a resistance to forgive. See, when you fail to release, or when you fail to let go, Or when you fail to just say, get out of my life, what it do, it caused your heart to harden to the point that he either was going to send you a strong delusion or make you a reprobate. And what it would do, it would perpetuate a resistance to forgive. And then it is not deserved, it is earned, yet it is freely given. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, 18 to 20, it says, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. See, in relationship to understanding what that word means. Brethren, this is what being a Christian is all about. Letting your light shine, being what God would want you to be. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, it's not but one way, John 14 says. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you're here today, how do you become a Christian? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Acts. I want to read something to you. The book of Acts, chapter 8. I want to read to you from God's word, if I may. The book of Acts, chapter 8. I want to read to you from God's word and show you an example how God saved the individual. In the book of 8, chapter 8, beginning in verse 29. Chapter 8 and verse 29. Start in verse number 26. Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, on the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, but had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now this was a religious man, because he had came from all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading out the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Word, said unto him, Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran nigh unto him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand thou what thou readest? And he said, well, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb for his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Prophet this, or himself or some other man. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on that way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the wall, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is what an individual did to be saved. He believed, and he was baptized. That same day, they went down into the water. And when they came up, resurrected of new life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. In the same way that Philip did it, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, Saul of Tarsus, Acts 22:16, you and I got to do the same thing. And if you're here today and you want to be saved, The water is ready, we are ready, and you can be baptized this day. Don't you put off tomorrow what you need to do today. We're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation song. If you need to let go, you need to release, come right now. You may need to be prayed for. Come right now as we stand there, we sing.